Blog Talk Radio.
There's too much pressure, baby. Maybe I'm not the one for you, baby. If you gotta question me, baby, think of all I've done for you, baby. You're gonna find someone.
Discussion with, hi, I'm Rachel G. How you doing, Rachel?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I appreciate you taking the time to go live with me and discuss some relationships. Let me go ahead and put the guest line number on the line so we can hopefully get some people to call in.
And I feel blurry. Somebody was saying that I was blurry.
Yeah, you blurry on my end.
And you're paused on my end.
I'm not sure if that's a connection on your end. Am I coming in blurry to y'all? Let me see. Pin the comment. Are you coming in a little clearer now? All right. I see you moving. You can read the comments. Yeah, people are still saying I can see you a little bit. It's coming in and out, but I can hear you just fine.
Okay, so for whatever reason, you're still. Like, I don't see you.
You don't see me moving? Oh, man, we dropped her. Let's see. Let me see if I can get her back, y'all. Hold on, I'm trying to connect her back.
Yes.
All right, we got you back.
Okay, I have to refresh it to see if that'd be a little bit better. You know, I know we can't do that once we get started.
Let me see.
I was making sure the Wi-Fi and everything was connected, and it did.
Okay, yeah, it's still coming in a little unclear, but I can still hear you, so we should be fine. All right, so let us know a little bit about yourself. I see that you're a relationship coach. How long have you been doing that? How did you get into relationship advice?
Yeah, so I am, you know, Rachel G, relationship expert. I've been marriage coach, family coach, and life coach, also a mentor. I started out dealing with kids for the government about 20 years ago. And I realized that the issue wasn't the kids, the issue was the family. And as I began to deal with families, I began to deal with singles and couples, realizing that if I can get to the root of the problem, which was who was teaching them, then the situation would be lightened more for the kids. So I've actually been dealing with relationships for 5 years, but I will say thanks to social media, thanks to Instagram, my business has really boomeranged and bamboozled tremendously within the last 12, 13 months.
That's what's up. I love hear my people doing good on the business front. Your background sounds pretty similar to me. I was a former middle school teacher, so I got to see, you know, like some of the things that you mentioned earlier about dysfunctional households or single parenthood and how it impacts kids, et cetera. But as far as my relationship advice, I think the thing that gives me my perspective or gives me the following that I have is I was a hoe for a long time. And so I speak from a perspective of a man that was very promiscuous for a very long time, and I've been married for a very long time. So I have a pretty good balance, and I'm a very good communicator. So I'm able to articulate a lot of things that men feel and deal with in a way that a lot of other people don't. So on my page seems to be pretty controversial because I don't candy coat a lot of stuff. So some of the things I say get women upset or get women in their feelings. So I get a lot of hostility and, you know, women that come for me on my page. But that's just kind of because I have a pretty blunt page where I talk about things from a all male perspective. So I like when I can get women on that are familiar with the things that they see and observe dealing with women and dating and relationships in a current society. So hopefully we can get some of our followers that are watching. Those of you that would like to call, the guest line is available. The number is 929-477-2994. We'll be more than happy to answer your question or respond to your feedback live on the air. So if y'all would like to join the discussion, call in the guest line. We'll be open the entire time. I had a couple things that I wanted to get your opinion on. And if you wanted to bring up something, we can take the discussion wherever you want to take it. What's going on, John? I see you out there, bro. All right, so based off of your expertise and your experience, what would you say are some of the biggest obstacles preventing women from having healthy relationships based on what you see?
Healing, that's the first one. Women are emotional, so they find themselves emotionally trying to date past what they've been hurt from. I think Maxwell has a song that says, I was just reaching out for something better than I had before. Most women are always reaching out, you know, I want somebody that's better than the last man. I want somebody that's going to do more than the last man, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's sexual, whether it's prayer, no matter what it is. They're always reaching for something better, but in reaching for something better, they get something worse or something the exact same, which still works, which means the mindset has to change. You have to change emotionally. You have to figure out where you've been hurt. You got to be able to reevaluate yourself and see yourself, and that's something that women don't want to do.
Why do you think they don't want to do it?
I'm sorry?
So why do you think they don't want to do that?
They don't want to do it because they weren't taught to do it. Everything goes back to what you've seen exercise in life. You notice a guy, if he was raised with mom and dad, he just did what dad does. Work, take care of home, do whatever you want to do if that was the case in the home. Women see mother cooking, cleaning, never really said anything to dad. It's just the way that it was. So they held everything inside. There was an issue. They just went on about it the next day like nothing happened. They never addressed the problem. Or if they addressed the problem, they only knew how to address it out of frustration, which is blowing a head gasket. So by then, they're still not hurt because they're too angry to be hurt.
True. Yeah, having the emotional control and the communication skills to effectively communicate when there's a problem, work past issues, and having a listening skill to be able to listen to another person's perspective. That's something that I see a lot of women struggle with on my page. Like I said, a lot of women, you know, like I make it a point that I post really long posts on Instagram. I post really long captions, but they're really articulate, well-explained captions, right? And so a lot of women will come and respond to me hostile without even reading the caption, without even reading anything about what I had to say, about reading any of the explanation why they're instantly disrespectful. They're instantly trying to attack me. And so it makes you think, what do they do in real life when they have a problem with a man? If you can't listen to somebody that is explaining something to you articulately, that is giving you some advice for free, that is clearly done with the intention to help you, then how can any woman be expected to have a healthy relationship with a man going forward if they can't take even a perspective that is not directed towards them without having an emotional reaction to it? Let me see, y'all. We lost Rachel again. Let's see if we can get her back on. I apologize for the technical difficulty, y'all. Let's see. I don't see her on here. Let's see if she joins back in. Oh, okay. I see her now. All right. Rachel. All right, we got you back. We got you back.
I don't know where I went.
Yeah, I forgot what we were talking about when we just lost you. I done got a little bit rattled. I was talking about how women don't have the communication skills that it takes to effectively resolve issues. And a lot of them respond so emotional to the things on my page that's not even directed at them. So it just makes me think, what kind of drama do they create when their man has a problem with them, or they have some criticism, or a man does something that they dislike? A lot of women don't take the time to try to understand why he did what he did, because a lot of times they just make assumptions about a man doing something to intentionally hurt them, or doing something that he can intentionally think to disrespect them. And it's like, that don't really make sense, because I've never heard men sit around and talk about, yo, man, help me think of something that I can do to hurt my girls. You know what I mean? I've never seen men sitting around plotting on ways to disrupt their relationship, but I've seen women do that. You know what I mean? So it's like, why do they have this assumption that men are sitting around creating problems when that's not what men do with each other? A dude's not at home sitting around, what can I do to make my brother not trust me? You know what I'm saying? What can I do to make my brother get in his feelings? Like, that's not how intelligent men operate. But a lot of women treat men like that's the only thing that they expect from them. And so it, from a male perspective, it's just really confusing to see how women view men this negatively and can honestly expect to have a healthy relationship one in the same breath.
Right.
So you said that women need to get healed. And so what you said they have to look at themselves by that, do you mean take accountability for the things that they have done or the things that they might have brought to the relationship? What exactly do you mean by that?
In my book that's coming out, Just to Heal for Purpose, I talk to women and men about healing. In order for you to be who you need to be in life successfully yourself, in order for you to be who you need to be successfully for anybody else, you have to heal. You have to heal from not just relationship issues. You got to heal from childhood issues. You got to heal from everyday issues, church issues, work issues. Because all those things that you deal with, if you don't get it out of the way, if you don't process it correctly, what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself bleeding into everything in your life. So that's why you attract the same men in different skin, not knowing that you are not with the same person, but they have the same type of chemistry. They have the same type of odor. Everything's the same because you don't know what you're looking for. You don't know who you're trying to attract. You're going based off of them not having one thing. And it's crazy because some women will be like, well, I dated a short man, now I'm dating a tall man. Or I don't want to date a truck driver. Or I don't want to date an athlete. Thinking that if I date somebody differently, different type of career, or if I date somebody that's a different color, date somebody that's a different type, a beard, no beard, braids, straight. If I date something, I'm going to get something different. And I even said it this past week, people get caught up in the hype of it. That it all boils down to healing and communication. If you ain't healing, and if you don't know how to talk to a man, you don't know how to communicate and get what you want, you're going to end up in the same situation. And how they end up in the same relationship is by being caught up in the hype, having fun, going out, not stopping and talking, going to the movies is not a date. Go somewhere where you can talk to this guy. Instead of on the fifth date, now you want to know about him. He ain't nothing that you like, and you trying to change him. So you found out you wasted time, and you with the same thing, man. You were just with. You should have stayed with him.
Yeah, see, I described that. I describe that as people fell in the dating phase. In my relationship book, it's not that complicated how real men feel about sex, love, and relationships. I talk about how a dating phase needs to happen organically, where a man goes and meets a woman he's attracted to, and they go through the process of setting the foundation for a healthy relationship. And that's something that a lot of women fail at because, like you said, they're obviously a lot of them bring in baggage from their past situations. They make assumptions based off their on their past situations, and they don't use dating for what it's essentially there for, to establish whether or not you are compatible with somebody and decide if you want to take things to the next level. A lot of women make that decision to take things to the next level before they even learn anything about the dude. And like you said,
right,
they end up in a relationship with somebody where they're not really compatible. Now they're having sex and putting themselves in a position to possibly get pregnant by a dude that's not responsible, not financially stable, no long-term goals, no ambition, et cetera. And all it takes is one of those bad relationships to really taint a good woman and have her in a situation where now she's not really appealing to the quality men that she's hoping to end up with. A lot of the things that I talk about on my page, one thing that I saw with a lot of people that gave relationship advice, like Steve Harvey's or whatnot from the male perspective, is a lot of men try to speak for all men. And I've always viewed that as a very flawed strategy, because women don't want all men, right? It's very clear that women, most women, want a specific type of man. And so those are the type of men that I speak about. Men that make six figures or close to it. Men that have a profession or a career. Men that have the type of personality that you can bring around your friends, your family, your colleagues. The type of men that are going to be good fathers and good husbands. And those are going to be the type of men that are highly sought by women. So they're more than likely going to be very successful with women, which is why my whole background gives me so much credibility with the subject matter that I'll talk about. Because when you have that type of man, he's not going to operate like the bums and the deadbeat that y'all are talking about. The men that I talk about have been preparing to be good fathers since they were 13 or 14. They've been visualizing having the 5-bedroom crib, 3 garages, the Benz, the BMW, the Rover. Like, they've been visualizing that and putting themselves in that position since they were kids. And so you're not going to just meet a man that you can turn into you can teach those values, or you can instill that type of work ethic in. If he doesn't have it by the time he's in his 20s, he's very unlikely to ever get it.
Yeah.
All right, looks like we got somebody called in on the guest line. Let's see who we got. Let's see, 1525, you're on the air with Terry and Rachel. Go ahead.
Hi, Terry.
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm okay. I have, two questions. So I'm dating this guy, and he's a real gentleman. He opens doors and all that. I think we're on our second date. I just wanted to know what is the dating phase like, and how soon should he ask me to be his girlfriend?
All right. Well, first of all, there is no set time where he should ask you to be his girlfriend. He has to spend time with you, dating you, to decide if he wants you to be his girlfriend or not. So the dating phase, the only thing that you should be doing in the dating phase is, one, establishing that there's a mutual romantic interest. You don't want to be dating somebody that you only see as a platonic friend or a buddy or something to that nature. If there's no romantic spark or no physical attraction, then that's a good point to decide to just be friends. All right, so the first thing, from a male perspective, he already established that he's physically attracted to you. So he's trying to figure out whether you like him like that, whether you're romantically interested in him. And if so, y'all are going to communicate regularly and put yourselves in positions to be around each other, whether it's going to a carnival, whether it's going to a movie, whether it's going out to have drinks or whatnot. And that's where you need to be figuring out if y'all are really compatible. Not just short-term compatible. I'm talking about you should be having discussions about family structure, where they came from, what type of family life did they live, what type of family life would they like to have, where do they see themselves in the future, how many kids do they want to have, if they have kids now, how involved are they in their lives? You need to be having real conversations into trying to figure out if this is somebody that you can really be with long-term. If you have ambitions of having a long-term relationship, what would you say to that question, Rachel?
Well,
Very good point.
Some men that feel like, oh, let me hurry up and make her my girlfriend so we can hunch, so I can, you know, get draws, so I can get it. So you have to see what is his motive, because, like, do you even know my little name? What makes you qualified to date me? What makes me qualified to date you? You know, like Terry said, let's do some homework about each other. Let's do some exercise. Let's figure out what we really know about each other before we jump into this. Because you don't want a man that should have been a friend in a friend category as somebody that's in your past, because too often we categorize people way too quick. We make a relationship out of a friendship. Somebody that's supposed to be a spiritual partner and we're supposed to just pray with, now that all of a sudden that's our husband. So you're wondering why you're not happily married. You're wondering why you're not successfully married, because you didn't successfully choose what category they went in.
True.
When you do that, when you allow vulnerability to take place, you do that when you're tired of waiting, you do that when you're bored, you do that when you're lonely, you also do that when you don't know your worth. That's for men and women. You have to get somewhere where you're like, hold up, wait a minute, pump the brakes. It's cool that you, you know, infatuated with the fact of making me your woman. But we need to make sure that we're not only connected to soul ties, but we're also moving too quick. Let's not jump the gun on something that, you know, you shooting your shot, but we got a whole row of balls. Just don't shoot because you got one ball. It ain't way to go.
Yeah, I mean, but that represents the mentality of a lot of women. They go into dating hoping it turns into a committed relationship. And they're really looking at everything that happens between them and the guy as a countdown up until that point. And if it doesn't happen fast enough, if things are not progressing the way that she has decided that they should in her head, not the way that she sees on Instagram, not the way that her friends have told her it should be progressing, now she's creating problems. Now she's trying to force the issue. And that's what gets a lot of women cut off. Next thing you know, she's calling a dude an F-boy and talking about he wasn't no good, when really she ruined the whole situation by the way that she approached the dating. And that's kind of why I take I do so much talking about the dating phase and the things that women do that cause them to not have the success they're looking for. You know, I put up posts about women where they'll be on the first date talking about committed relationships and what are your intentions and where is this going? And it's like, man, if you just went on 3 or 4 dates and had some real conversations, you couldn't have figured that out. You know what I mean? Like, they use these type of strategies where if you just did things the way that they should be done, you would have figured that information out. You know, like another thing that that I always get asked about with the Steve Harvey comparisons is like 90 day rule, right? So once he said that women should wait 90 days to have sex with the guy, women are putting up these calendars and all this thing, and it's like, man, it doesn't really make no sense. Like, what are you going to learn about a man on day 90 that you couldn't have learned about him on day 55 if you was having quality conversations with him every time y'all talk?
It should take you 90 days to get to know somebody.
Exactly. Like,
this is what gets me. You know who you know if you're interested after the first conversation. Like, if you're doing things effectively and if you're doing it and making it lucrative for your future, you already know. Like, if you want to spend time with him, you can, or her, you can tell.
True.
So all of that wasting time and, oh, you know, it's been 60 days, so I think it's been 3 months. Why would you even want all it on your resume like that?
Man.
Because conversation rules the nation. Before you know it, you conversate and then you bored. Somebody else don't pick up. They text you, hey, big head. And then you all up in the mix of them. You're like, oh, he here. Oh, she here. Oh, I'm bored. I ain't got nothing else to do. And you know, I know a lot of people that didn't have nothing else to do. And now they're married with that nothing else to do. Miserable as I don't know what, looking for more what else to do. That's not the way that it goes. You are grown. Do what you're supposed to do and get to know that person. If they're not that person, that's how you can remain friends with people. I see a lot of people in relationships, a lot of people come to me and they burn bridges with people. You shouldn't be burning bridges when you build a friendship first.
A lot of women take that approach.
When somebody go out and cheat on you or something like that, you don't want nothing to do with them. But if you figure out, like, this just didn't work, we're good people, we're just not good together, then
Yeah. I see a lot of women that are like that, where if a man don't want what they want, they treat him like he don't exist, and, you know, like, they cut him off, block him, delete his number, all this type of stuff, where it's like, that doesn't make any sense. Timing matters.
It's a man do it too, though. You know men do it too. They clown. They clown like they don't know her.
Men are on a different side of the fence when it comes to this. Like, men don't go into dating trying to force it to be a relationship. Like, most men...
They go with the flow.
Yeah, they willing to see what happens. So men are not going into dating, calling and saying, on what date should I ask her to be my girlfriend, Terry? I never get questions like that from men, because that's not how men approach dating. Like, a man that does that is not successful with women. That's the dude that ain't getting no play, women don't want to be with. Yeah, like, so if a dude is doing things like that that make him appear lame to women, he's not successful with women. That's not the dude that they want to be with. And so men are not taking that approach. Men are like, man, let me see what she's talking about. Let me see how she make decisions. Let me see how she handle her money. Let me see if she's really living up to the stuff she talked about. You know what I mean? Like, did you know those first couple conversations? Oh, I go to school. I do this. I do that. Well, a couple of weeks of you engaging with somebody, Monday they wasn't doing nothing. They watched TV all day. Tuesday when they watched TV all day. Wednesday when I went over there and saw her, she didn't have nothing to do. We was over there until 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, you can pick up on behavior patterns and see when somebody's consistent with their lifestyle or not. And that's where a lot of people fail. They don't take the time to fill in the gaps with common sense and time, because they're going into it with the rush. And the reason I say that is because most men don't do that, at least not the men that I'm talking about that are successful with women. A man cannot have flawed dating habits and be successful with women unless he's a celebrity or he's rich. You know what I mean? So for the average guy, they learn how to improve their dating by trial and error. And so look like we got some more people calling in on guest line. Let's see who else we got. We got 8802, you're on the air with Terry and Rachel. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Tina, and I'm dating a guy. Well, kind of, sort of. Well, yeah, we're dating. Okay, so I'm dating a guy, and, you know, first month we were dating. We spent a lot of time together. But then, like, within the second month, I started to see that he was going out, like, frequently, like Thursday through Sunday. He's out in clubs, bars, and, you know, I questioned him about it.
Let me get a question real quick. You said y'all were dating. Are y'all in a committed relationship, or y'all just going on dates?
No, just casually dating, you know, going on
dates.
Okay,
y'all kicking it.
Talking, spending time together. Yeah, things like that. So, 3 months in, you know, I'm starting to see that he goes out frequently, like Thursday through Sunday. He's out in a bar, club, whatever. And, you know, I question him. I'm like, you know, you go out often? Is that something you do? Like, and his answer was, well, I go out a lot because I'm bored. Okay. And he's like, you know, if I was in a relationship, I wouldn't go out as much. But I was, you know, just kind of skeptical. It's like, should I continue dating somebody like that? Because I don't really like a guy who's out all the time on the scene. And, you know, I don't think that it should take for me to get into a committed relationship with that person to see if that behavior changed.
You shouldn't go into a relationship contingent on them changing their behavior. What you're seeing now is what you should expect in the relationship. So, yeah, obviously common sense will say if he's single, he can go kick it and do what he wants. But if he's in a relationship, y'all would be doing something more than likely on Friday and Saturday, like most couples do. So common sense would say that he doesn't have as much time to just go out and party like he does now. But his character, what he enjoys doing, what he likes to do with his free time, that's not going to change. So he is a dude that likes to be on the scene. You know what I mean? So that may not be a problem, because he may take you on the scene with him. You know what I mean? Like, I know plenty of couples that go out together and go to clubs together. So if y'all do those type of things, that's perfectly fine. But you cannot be making or expecting him to make some type of major change in order for y'all to have a healthy relationship. That's That's setting yourself up for failure, in my opinion. What do you think, Rachel? About why they fell out with their best friend. Why y'all not best friends no more? You know what I'm saying? Like, why you got a beef with your brother or your cousin? Like, having them explain to you why they mad at somebody, those are the kind of conversations where you would come like, man, this person's really petty. You cut off your best friend because of that, because they was late to your party? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can gauge a person's mentality based off the things that they tell you about their real life. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen in the first week that you meet them. That you figure these things out by over time, by having the type of conversations that you need to have, by observing their real life and making sure that the things that they tell you match the life that they project to them to you and that they project to the public. Because if any of those things are off or not looking aligned, then you got some red flags that you need to get some more information about. Why ain't this adding up? You said that you don't hardly ever go to the club. You went to the club this weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can start using facts and observations to be able to bring to the table and discuss. And that's what any smart person should be doing. You know what I mean? Like, for example, from a guy's perspective, girl on day 3 tells him, I only slept with 5 guys. But throughout the conversation, she didn't bring up 6 examples where she's talking about, my ex used to do this, this other guy used to do this. A smart man picks up on that. She done told me she only been with 5 dudes. She done brought up 7 or 8 different dudes and different examples. You know what I'm saying? Like, inconsistencies like that can come out and be observed over time if you pay attention and have a real conversation with people. Let's see, who else we got? We got another call on the line. We got 8646. You're on the air with Terry and Rachel. Go ahead. 8646, are you there? Guess not. All right, those of y'all that would like to join the guest line, y'all can reach us at 929-477-2994. We'll be more than happy to take your call on air to get some live feedback. Let's see, what else did I want to bring up? Did you have something else you wanted to add on this topic before we moved on?
No, I think we hitting it. Just stop thinking, they automatically know, ladies, because here's the thing, you ladies got to, and Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, here's the thing you ladies got to understand. A man will commit. Stop feeling like a man will not commit. He commits to who's going to cut his hair. He commits to what day he's going to go get a haircut. He commits to what day he's going to wash his car. He commits to who his fantasy football team is going to be. He commits to whatever team that he's going to root for. He commits to things in life, and he makes that commitment. Now, he may think about what he's going to do, but once he's thought about it, oh, that's what he's going to do. They don't change much. They don't take change very well. They're very straightforward with what it is with life. So, ladies, stop thinking he's not going to listen to you. Or if the problem is, you're not doing what it takes for him to think about even wanting to commit. Put that on his mindset. The main thing is, stop changing on him in the middle. If you don't like something, don't like it. Don't feel like, oh, you know, he's going to tell by my body language. He's going to tell by my face that I don't like him. No, he's not. Men, I have two boys. I have to tell them step by step on what it is that I want. And ladies, as you begin to grow and see, you have to remind that man about little small things. Because their mind is half
the time
on one track.
Yeah, I think more men are focused on managing the bigger picture. You know, like my wife sends me reminders and stuff on stuff that she knows that I'm not.
Yeah.
Pick up more juice boxes, you know what I'm saying? Like stuff that I don't think about, you know what I mean? Like, but that comes from knowing your man. But like, but what you just mentioned earlier, a lot of women do prevent themselves from because, you know, it's funny. I see women that, you know, a lot of the things that they project and the things that they post on my page are not consistent with what men really think, you know, and I see that. So a lot of women come up with their dating strategies and their perspectives on men based off flawed information, based off hearsay, based off assumptions they made off of their exes, based off things that they've saw, you know what I'm saying? Like, they get a lot of misinformation and they use that to come up with their perception of men. And it's like,
right.
So here I am trying to give them how men really think and operate in a uncandy coated way, because I don't really think candy coating things and telling women all the stuff that they want to hear, I don't really think that's very helpful, especially not for the type of men that I talk about. Men that have options that you have less margin of error with. Like, if you're unpleasant, you create an environment where you get on his nerves, where you're a headache, where every time he comes around you is drama, he's going to come around you less. Not going to change the amount of sex he's getting. Not going to change the amount of the dates he go on. They're not going to be with you. You know what I mean? And so if your goal is to end up with this type of dude, then you have to make some changes. It's not just going to be, he better do this, he better do this, because he already knows he doesn't have to do that. He's going to be with somebody that they can come up with the rules together. Well, babe, on Sundays I like to go play golf and I like to do this. Like, you make adjustments based off each individual. You can't come in with yourself. Yeah, you can't come in with your six strict guidelines and think that you're just going to dictate to a man how it's going to be. And so, see, like, some of the things that I do on my page, I often have to post definitions, because I see that a lot of women use words improperly and use them out of context. And one of the big examples that I'm going to bring up is settle. I hear women, I hear this cliche, never settle, never settle, never settle. And so when I go on my page and I break down what settle really means, settle means for two parties to reach an agreement on something. Why would that ever be a problem for two people to do in a relationship? Lawyers go in court. Everybody should have a couple of deal breakers. You can't have a couple pages of deal breakers. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm trying to have 6 pages. And I'm like, can I tell you something? This is the reason why you don't have a man, because you have 6 pages of what a man has to have. And you don't know who's going to find you. But can you give yourself all of that? You want a man that sticks to, you want a man that has a beard. First of all, could you give yourself a beard? Are you sick to? You want a man's good credit? Is your credit good? Like, are you getting the things that you're wanting to get? Now, granted, if you like what you like, then like what you like, but don't shoot down somebody off because they got everything but one characteristic. Then they're not the issue. You are.
See, that's what I would describe as unrealistic expectations. You know, and that's one of the big things that I talk about on my page. But back what I was saying about the settling. That's a phrase that women take out of context. You know what I mean? Like, they have the cliche that they attach to it, but the cliche doesn't really make sense. If two lawyers can go and make a settlement where everybody walk out happy, they got what they wanted, how can two people not agreement? All right, well, I wanted to have 4 kids, but you only want 1, so we agreed on having 2. I wanted to live in California, you wanted to live in Florida, but we decided to move to Atlanta. What's wrong with settling? What's wrong with meeting somebody you like that you are compatible with and making agreements on how are y'all going to establish their lives? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But women treat it like it's a major problem, because I see it all the time. And so I see these type of phrases and terms all the time where women are taking things completely out of context. And just like I saw you mention earlier, I didn't really get to elaborate on it because we were in a call, but you said know your worth. And that's another phrase that I've discussed on my page and on some of my podcasts. Know your worth from a male perspective, that seems to be a blanket excuse for women to use to justify anything that they think or believe, because they can say, oh, girl, he didn't make enough money. I know my worth. Like, they can just throw this I know my worth at anything, and it makes it okay that they made that decision, where it doesn't hold them accountable for their bad decision. And so when you're talking about the know your worth, it's like, okay, women constantly want to bring up words like value and know my worth, but they don't want to bring up all the other aspects of the market system that they're using those terms from. Like, they don't want to bring up the fact that supply and demand, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that the quality men that they want are in much less supply than the quality women that want to be in relationships. They don't want to take into account that in any market system, it's the shoppers that determine if they feel that something's worth spending their money on. And in the dating system, the men are the consumers. The men are the ones that are going around approaching women, determine who they feel is worth giving their time, effort, and attention to. So they want to bring up the know your worth, but they don't want to talk about the other aspects of the system that come into play. And it creates this dynamic where most women use that as an excuse to excuse a decision that they made or a stance that they've taken in regards to men, so that they're never held accountable for the decisions that they make that don't really make sense.
Throw up is when it comes to know your you do something and vice versa. Why can't you two bring stuff to the table together and make it work? Why do you have to feel like somebody has to have this, somebody has to have that? Okay, what if you get, this is my thing, what if you get a man or what if you get a woman that has bad credit? But you got good credit, but they got money. But this is the thing. Why is their credit bad? This is where confirmation comes in. Because they could have just gotten out of a divorce where they were married to somebody that shot their credit. So the problem is people aren't talking and communicating with why they are where they are. They want to hide the fact and camouflage the fact that they're missing out on something. Women want to dress themselves up with nails, hair, red bottoms, and forgetting the fact that they broke. Men want to, you know, be so flashy and forget the fact that they broke. Tell me, quit trying to cover up. They even do it for the gram. And let's be real about it.
Well, like, from the guy's perspective, the guys that flex and put on like that, they do it because it gets them what they ultimately want out of women: time, attention, and sex. By the time she realized that.
What I'm saying is, it doesn't necessarily mean they have
it. Right. Oh,
you know,
absolutely. Conversations that really matter will get you that type of information. Look like we got somebody else on the line. Let's see who. We got 3246. You're on the air with Terry and Rachel. Go ahead.
Hi. I just have, I don't know if it's a question or whatnot. I had been seeing this guy for maybe like, I think it's been about like 2.5 years. Started off very, very casual. Not, you know, I could almost say like booty call-ish. And we started hanging out more and more and more. And it kind of developed into more of a relationship, not necessarily exclusive. From my side,
What does not necessarily exclusive mean?
Well, we never had the talk, you could say. We never like talked about, you know, are we going to keep dating people? I personally am not the kind of person that knows how to date many people. So once it was consistent with him, I kind of stopped, looking or whatnot. The funny thing is I am very involved now at this point. I'm very involved in his like stuff, his friends, his family. Everybody knows about me on his end of the thing, but because it was never a really exclusive thing, like boyfriend and girlfriend, I never really involved him in my side of, you know, like going out with my friends. I actually have kids as well, so I didn't introduce him to my kids. He knew about them, but we never like got there. Everything just kind of, again, developed to the point where, you know, we actually told each other we love each other and whatnot. But recently, he's going to have to move, and he said, he made a comment of, you know, when I do, maybe I should get a girlfriend to move in with me. And I jokingly was like, what about me? And he's like, oh no, you know, you'll be gone, 'cause I'm going to have somebody else. And I was just like, okay. Of course that really hurt my feelings.
So y'all passively aggressively joked about something that was really serious.
Yes. In the moment. Because I actually am the kind of woman that doesn't like to jump to conclusions and just lash out. So it hurt me in the moment very much. I left. The next day, I thought about it, how I was going to bring it up, because obviously I can't leave something like that just, oh, it didn't matter. So I brought it up and told him, you know how I feel about you. Even if I try to hide it at this point, I can't. But I don't want to be hearing those things from you. You know, like, I don't want to hear that I'm going to be replaced once you find somebody else. And he told me that he wants to start a family with somebody, not join one, which is obviously I have kids, and that he loves me, but he wants, you know, to start his own family.
You don't
want to
be
family.
With you.
Basically.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, well.
So my thing is, you know, like, how do you go from telling, you know, again, being in his, in like in your world, like I am in his world, family, everything, basically calls me his girlfriend. He doesn't necessarily, every once in a while, kind of, sort of, he doesn't correct people if they say that I am, but like,
you,
how do
you
go
hoping
from that
and you're searching for some type of title that he is, if he wanted you to be his girlfriend, you would be his girlfriend. He's made it very clear
that he,
but you're stretching, you're just like holding your hand out, hoping that it eventually becomes that. And ultimately what you're going to do is end up hurting yourself. He does not want to be with you long term. He's made that clear. And his behavior has made it very clear that he does not want you to be his woman. Now, that does not mean that he doesn't care about you. That don't mean that he's not down for you. That don't mean that he's a bad person. He told you he didn't want to be with you, and he told you why. Because he did not want to blend a family. He wants to create his own, which is his choice to make. So you have to make the decision on if, or I mean, you know, you're going to have to eventually cut the cord with this guy. When is it going to happen? Because what a lot of women do is they get in situations like this where they know heartbreak or pain is coming, and they do everything that they can to possibly delay it. Where you may be a lot better off ending it now and dating somebody that actually does want what you want, since you know that you're not going to get it with him. Well, what do you think, Rachel?
I mean, a man is always
going to
tell you how he feels. You just have to be warm enough to open your ears and listen. You can't think that, oh, you can change a man. Oh, you know, you got it like that. Listen, if he's saying that's what he wants, then that's what he wants. I mean, like Terry said, you're blocking yourself from a blessing because, like, why you wasting time trying to make him work? There's somebody you ain't got to make nothing, you know? So don't listen. Listen to the man. When he's telling you, he's telling you. There's no potential in it. I think Maya Angelou said, and it's always a cliche and thing like every African American movie, when someone shows you themselves, believe them. Because that is what it is. But he's not showing you, he's telling you. So it's like, okay, well, because basically, if you remain there, what that means is, you know, you're letting him really and truly diss the fact that you got kids. You let him really and truly diss your motherhood. Because he don't want you because you have children. And as for me, I'm a divorced mother. So when you say something about my kids, that's already out of there. That's not going to work. So, boy, bye. That's it. just tell him bye, heal. And that needs to be one of the things you want to rectify in the beginning with the next man. You know, how do you, I got children. You ain't got to do it. It should be, hi, my name is such and such, I got kids. No, please don't do that. But make sure you let him know you have children and how does he feel about dating someone with kids.
Yeah, I think she mentioned a lot of things that were red flags, like the passive aggressive,
oh, yeah.
Like she said, how they joked about the situation and I jokingly said this.
That's
like you don't jokingly talk about significant stuff like that. And so
yeah. So
those are things that indicate that they completely failed the dating. Well, she completely failed the dating phase. He has been getting what he wants out of the relationship the whole time, where he likes you a lot, you're cool to bring around his friends, his family, but you're just not somebody that he would ever settle down with or marry. That's perfectly cool from a male perspective. And so from her perspective, if she's having visions of them being married, she should have been able to tell that within month two or three that he would not marry a woman with kids because he wants his own family. That's a conversation.
Week two or three.
I'm just saying, but she said that they've been kicking it for 2.5 years. So, but that's something that you can learn early on in a situation where you can decide, all right, well, cool. Are we just going to be kicking it or are we just going to have be friends with benefits? Like, you can make a conscious decision about where things go from there if you take the time to actually have real discussions. And so hopefully, you know, she doesn't do nothing drastic, but it's very clear that she's going to have to make a decision on whether she cuts things off with this man now so that she can be on the dating market and meet somebody else new, or wait till he cut her off and tell her he got a girlfriend or something, which is really going to hurt her feelings. Which is typically how that type of situation goes, because if he's not committed to you, then that means he is definitely enjoying his single life. So that means that there are other women in the picture, other women that may be more suited to his long-term goals. He's not putting all his eggs in your basket because he's made it clear that he does not see you as wife material. Not because that's something, a personal shot on you. He does not want to inherit those circumstances. You know what I mean? And which is, everybody has the right to decide what situations they want to enter in, which ones that won't work for them. So we're going to be taking a quick break. We're going to come back after the break. We'll finish up the last 30 minutes of the discussion. Those of you that would like to join the phone call, the conversation, the guest line will be open, 929-477-2994. Rachel, I will add you to the next session once I go live again. I'm going to end this session. I'm going to go live again. We'll get back set up and we'll go from there. Y'all are listening to my...
Okay.
All right, we'll be back momentarily.
I might just chill on some babe, I might just chill with your boo, I might just feel on your babe. My pussy feel like a lake, he wanna swim with his face. I'm like, okay. I let him get what he want. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent and the new wave. When I go fast as a horse, I got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the street. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you hoes know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these hoes be mad at me. They baby father run a bill. That little bitch, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now. I make.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Yeah, I listened to my discussion with Rachel G. Let me see if I can get her on the phone. Hold on, I'll put the guest line number up. 9-2. All right, so I'll put that up. Let me see. Pin that. And let's see. Is Rachel back on, y'all? Oh, man. I don't see her on here yet. Let me know if y'all see when Rachel G joins the conversation back. Rachel, if you're on here, post a comment so I can get straight to your comment. Having a pretty interesting conversation. Got a couple people called in on the guest line. But it seems like one of the common themes is the dating phase is very important. I talk about it all the time. And today I put up a link on my Instagram page of a dating seminar that I created. It's only, if you click the link in my bio and you purchase access to it, it's only $5. You'll get sent an invitation where you can watch the PowerPoint that I created, where I have a whole video seminar on, it's called Dating Done Right, and it outlines step by step how you need to go through the dating phase to set the foundation for a healthy relationship. I would strongly recommend that y'all spend the $5, That's less than a glass of wine. That's less than a pair of shoes. Like, it's so it will be a very beneficial $5. But I strongly think, I mean, you see, she's a relationship coach. Y'all see all the questions and stuff that I get. If we're both talking about the dating phase and the problems that women have when they don't go through the dating phase properly, that's a key indication that it's something that y'all need to improve on sooner rather than later. Because getting yourself in a position where you're going years in a situation that is a dead-end situation, yeah, at the end of it, you're going to feel like he played you or led you on, but that's not how the situation looks from the objective perspective. Because if he was getting his needs met and he made it clear what he was down for and you didn't, that's not his fault. You know what I mean? Like, it's not his fault that you didn't get what you wanted out of the situation. I'm not sure why I don't see Rachel joining back on. Let me know when y'all see Rachel join back on. All right, look like we got somebody else on the guest line. We got 0137. You're on the air with Terry Duran. Go ahead.
Hi, I want to make a comment about I see somebody writing the comment where at least the dude was honest with her. And I feel like I do, like my boyfriend, when I first started dating him, he was really, really blunt and he was honest. And don't get me wrong, I did kind of get mad, but now that I'm older, and, you know, we're still together now, I actually respected his honesty, because you really do have a lot of dudes out here who they really won't tell you or nothing. They won't let you know till you fall in love and everything. So I feel like honest dudes, the dudes who, you know, they really stand up guys and just tell you what it is ahead of time, like, they need to get more credit.
I agree. You know what I mean? You know, it's a lot of dudes out there to give men a bad name. And, you know, I see women talk about them all the time. I get asked questions about them all the time. And I can't really explain why they operate the way that they do. But I do know that it's in their best interest to not be truthful to a lot of women. So they don't. They get what they want out of the situation, time, attention, and sex. And by the time the woman figures out that he ain't nothing, it's too late. And so if women can start going through the dating phases effectively, having a conversation to figure out whether he was a real dude or not. You know what I mean? But a lot of women, they say that they want one thing, but they eliminate or cut guys off because of it. For example, like they say they want a dude that makes six figures. They want a dude that's in my tax bracket. But they can't understand that a dude could be too busy to talk on his phone and text you back. Like, he's not the cashier at Popeyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, to think that a man can't be busy to the point where he don't have time to be texting you back and forth because of he's doing something important in his life is ridiculous to me. But there are women
I have a friend, and he already knows. You know, we call it fuck boys. But one of my friends had started dating him, and they went on a date, and she asked a question. And he was just upfront with her about it, and she came back and told us, and she was like, that was just rude and disrespectful. You didn't have to tell me that. I was like, well, if you didn't really want to know the answer, don't ask a question that you don't really want to know the answer to.
I agree with that 100%. I was about to say somebody answering your question without calling you out your name can never be considered disrespectful to me. Rachel, what did you think about that? Hold on, you're breaking up.
It's a big bounce. It's like four conversations at once with the reception and everything, but. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, it just seems like there's a big set of disrespect, you know? And I think that's where, what we talked about earlier, that's where it's an issue of women saying, know your worth or I know my worth. At some point, you have to realize what you want to accept and what you're not going to accept. It shouldn't get past one conversation of disrespect. Hey, look, you know, I don't like when you talk to me this way or whatever, whatever. Now, you got some women out here who like a man to call them a B or this, that, the other, because they think it's just general talk. But yet society makes that word so comfortable now. So he may do that thinking that he can do that. But if you get it straight, he feel like, okay, well, wait a minute, she ain't like this.
Yeah,
you have to tell her how you feel. Don't hold back because you want to hold on to the relationship.
True. I mean, but I would think that most women don't want to be with a dude that just randomly refers to his woman as a B or things of that nature. But I've seen the other side of the fence where women have curved me because they told me I was too nerdy or because I got a degree. Like, so it just depends on what they're looking for. So some women like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they like thugs and hood dudes where they're going to have relationships like that. I don't really recommend it, but people are going to pick and choose what they like regardless of what somebody else tells them. So those type of women are always going to gravitate towards those type of men, and they're going to have to live with the consequences of those type of decisions. I think the intelligent women know better or learn from that when they're in their early 20s or situations in the past, but that's what some women look for. Now, like you said, I don't think a person should ever be dating somebody that they cannot express their feelings to. Like, would a woman be best friends with another woman that she can't tell how she feel about stuff? No, she wouldn't. You would never get elevated to the level of her bestie where she's telling you all her personal business if y'all haven't been able to exchange unpleasant conversations or talk about things that may not feel the best. But that's what you have to do when you know it's coming from a position of love where the person's not intentionally trying to hurt your feelings. They're not intentionally trying to do nothing to you. They're telling you the truth, or they're telling you something in the effort to make you better. How can you be mad at that? Like,
exactly.
That's where you have to be able to look in the mirror and realize that you're the one being childish. You asking somebody a question, now you are pissed off at them because they didn't give you the answer that you wanted. Well, if you already had a preset answer, then what you asked the question for? Why didn't you make it a statement? You know what I mean? Like, it's things like that where it's avoidable drama. Things that did not have to take place. Things that you don't see among mature people. I'm 38 years old. I've never gotten a situation where I asked one of my partners something and they told me an answer and I was so mad that we're not partners no more. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it's hard.
Right.
It's hard for a man to even fathom those type of things happening. But I see, you know, girl code situations and situations like that where women have some real irrational ways on how they make these decisions on who to cut off, who's a good person, who's somebody that they need to keep in their life. And it's like, man, real life don't work like that. You know what I mean? And so, and nobody that I've seen that has a healthy relationship operates like that. They don't take their spouse telling them something as they only said it so they can hurt me. You know what I mean? Like, they don't take this pessimistic, you're my enemy type of stance that I see a lot of women take from, like you said, them not healing or whatnot. So I definitely can understand the necessity for the healing. I just don't know how practical it is, because it seems like just about any situation that doesn't go the way a woman wants to, now she needs to be healed again. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like seems like everything is a constant hurting the woman, just from the outside looking in, where it's like, okay, so as long as she's not getting in a happy, healthy relationship, everything else is hurting her. Is that a fair assessment to take from a male perspective? You there, Rachel?
I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it fair for men to view it like that?
The whole problem is, I'm sorry, it's a bounce back. It's like, now you're saying what you men don't want to talk because they don't feel like that's something that needs to be done.
I don't know if it's necessarily that. I think what men experience a lot of times, they don't really want to be hurt. You know, like a lot of times a man can be trying to, a woman can ask him, why'd you do this? And as soon as he starts explaining why he did it, oh, you're a liar. Oh, you're just making an excuse. So it's like, why'd you ask him to explain then? If you was going to cut him off and tell him that he's lying, why'd you even ask him for his opinion or what how he felt about the situation? So it's like, if you're not really there to listen, and we see, especially on social media, a lot of women come to my page to reply, not to listen or read. They come with the agenda in mind because they'll go on a rant and cuss me out about something that I didn't even say or about something that I addressed in my caption. So that shows you this, this like, man, you didn't come here to gain any understanding. You didn't come to get any information. You came to go on a rant and talk about how men ain't nothing. And it, so it's like, if you have that type of attitude here, you have that type of attitude when you're in a heated argument in real life. And that's where you get the dysfunction because you, and you know what's strange or why it's so confusing from a male perspective? Because they don't do that. They don't do that at work. They don't go with their boss that hostile. Some of these women are lawyers, business owners. They own a beauty salon. So they have the mental maturity and the intelligence to know a proper time and place to handle a situation. Why can't they apply that when it comes to men? Like, it's really not that. You there? Relationship to get past cheating or an affair?
Well, yes, I think it's possible for a relationship to get past cheating and relationship to get past all of that. If they're going to communicate with each other, if they're going to get an understanding, you know, you can't go out and you've been caught cheating because you never came home, but now all of a sudden she forgiving you or he forgiving you, still ain't coming home. Like, you know, you still late. You got off of work at 5 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, and you your characteristics and your MO and your timeline is still the same. You've gotta change that. And this is the thing. A lot of men feel like, yeah, I cheated, she forgave me, man. I shouldn't be calling her, telling her world, man. And I shouldn't be checking it. I ain't checking in on her. She stayed with me. She might as well say forget it. But what, at what point are you gonna respect and love your wife enough to not even put that in her head? To say, you know what, hey, babe, what you doing? I mean, you should even want to date her again. What's wrong with talking sweet to her while you on the way home?
Yeah, I think those are dumb men. Wait. That's not.
You gotta wait to get home just to do it.
Yeah, I don't think that's how smart men approach it. You know what I mean? The better quality men that really care about not getting divorced and keeping their family intact or whatnot. They're willing to make the type of changes that are necessary to avoid cheating. You know, I talk about you know, I've cheated early in my marriage, so I know I a lot of times when we talk about cheating on my page, I'm explaining why men do it or the thought process they go through that caused them to cheat, and it's always received negatively by women. Because they come, there's no reason to ever cheat. There's no excuse to cheat. Not like they just want to keep hitting you over the head with the same cliches, right? Whereas, like,
yeah.
Then why are you asking him why he cheated? You know what I mean? Like, so if you don't want to know why he did it, or if you're not willing to listen to figure out what the problem was, then you're never going to be able to get past it. Because most men, especially the men that are in the tax bracket that I'm talking about, that's going to get with alimony and thousands of dollars of child support and all this type of stuff, they not trying to really mess up they happy homes unless they really have to. So most men that are in those type of predicament cheat because they're missing something out the relationship. And majority of the time before they reach that level, they try to resolve the problem. And so that's what really has to take place if a couple's really going to be able to grow and move past it. And that comes with a lot of unpleasant conversations, like you said. Being able to take accountability for the things that you could have improved on, or the things that you may not aware have been as problematic as the person was making it out to be. That's what you have to get towards, and if you want to get past cheating. Looks like we got another call on the line. We got a 0740, you're on the air. Go ahead. Are you there? All right, I guess not. All right, y'all, we got about 10 minutes left before we get out. Hopefully we can get a couple of calls in. I know what I wanted to ask. I have one more thing that I wanted to bring up. This is a post that I got asked about earlier. In a situation like you said, you're a single, I mean, a divorced mother. What are your thoughts on a stepfather being in a situation where he lives with the woman, not being given the authority to discipline the children? Do you think that's a fair predicament to put a man in? Your discipline them, yeah.
That's something, first of all, that each couple needs to communicate in blending families. You know, because I even talked to my couple about how to blend their families and what to do. Personally, with me, if I'm going to be with a man, he's going to see my kids just like they're his kids. So the same way I chastise my kids, I will respect him enough to allow him to be the man of the house. There is no, you can do whatever you want to do, you can't do this. You know, my biological father wasn't in my life. I have a stepfather who chastised and raised me. So I am very old school when it comes to that.
Okay.
I'm not going to take away that privilege of him being able to be a man. I don't want to put restriction on him.
Yeah, because that came up on my page a couple of days ago, and a lot of women are really, really adamant about it, and a man better not do this with my child, and it's like, okay, then you can't expect the man to come in and accept responsibility for your child if you're not going to give him the authority to be able to discipline. There's no way a man can run a household if your kid can just talk to him anyway. There are a lot of women that were strongly against it. So it's like, okay, so you expect them to just use the, I'm going to tell your mom until they 16 and 17, like till they move out. Like that doesn't seem very practical or realistic to me, Because I know when I was 14, 15, my partners, they got in fights with their dads. You know what I'm saying? Like, they done got two-pieced by their dads before for getting out of line. So you mean to tell me your 15-year-old son that could possibly be 6'2" is supposed to be talking crazy to a grown man in his house, and he's supposed to say, wait till your mom get home. I'm going to tell your mom on you. That don't seem like it's going to be a situation. Yeah, I mean, so it's, like
because,
I said,
you know what? I see so much wrong with that because those kids, like you said, those kids are going to get older, and the first thing that's going to happen, they're going to come in between that marriage.
Yeah.
They could be lying. They could do this on like everything.
They'll be able to pit the mother against the father because they're smart. Just like, like I'm a former teacher, so just like kids are smart enough to pit the parent against the teacher. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get some of these teenage parents where they believe, they feel like they friends with their kids, and they kids tell them whatever. They come up to the school ready to get beat up by the teacher because of something that their kids told them. You know, because it wasn't going to be none of that. They going to come beat up the teacher. I was going to have to do the beating up. But it's like, man, some of these parents come up here jumping stupid with me off of some stuff that a 13-year-old told them. And so it's like, man, some people, you know, don't have the maturity to handle conflict or to be able to see their kids for what they really are. But I just wanted to get your opinion on that because, like I said, it was something that a lot of women had a real serious problem with. I have one last question before we get out of here. This is a post I put up earlier today, and so I want to get some female insight on it. What do you think would be more painful for a woman? To have the man that she's in a committed relationship with just leave her unexpectedly, or to see that man that left her instantly have a glow up and improve his happiness and his lifestyle once he leaves her? Do you think it would be more painful to see the glow up or the breakup?
You know what? I'm going to answer this question for women and not for myself. A woman, one of the things a woman can last does not like, most women I talk to them all the time, the fear they have more than anything is putting their all into a man and watching him go be great in another relationship. Helping him educate himself, helping him become a better man, helping him get a job, you know, helping him get a car, helping him get a house, helping him better himself in whatever way. And another woman being able to, you know, be rewarded from what she's done. Women tell me all the time, I don't want to leave the relationship because I invested too much. I've put too much into him. I'm the reason why he got this job. I'm the reason why he got that job. I'm the reason why he's doing this. I'm the reason why he's doing that. But do you ever feel like that you would like for a time of the season? Quit, you know, and my thing is, I would be like, you know what? God bless you. I'm going to be blessed because I've been able to help you. You're not great for me. You're great for somebody else. Because everybody that you meet, everybody you're in a relationship with is going to mold and make you for who you're going to be with in your future. You learn something. You learn how to cook if you never knew how to cook because this man wanted you to cook. So it didn't work out, but you know how to cook for your husband now. So you can't look at it for what you've done for people because then you take out the pureness and your genuine drive to be in the relationship. You did those things because you were with them. That's not genuine. You have to check why you're really in your relationships in the first place.
Very true. Very, very true. I see that type of sentiment a lot of times with the women on my page where anytime a situation doesn't result in a committed relationship, they will feel like it was a waste of time. And it's like, oh, I wasted 2 years of my life. And so I put up a post like, hold up. So whenever a woman does something with her friends or something else in life that she enjoys, they never call it a waste of time. Women can go to California with their friends or go to Miami. None of them say that, oh, we just wasted the whole weekend. They go do something with their friend. They go shopping all day Saturday. They don't say that I wasted my whole Saturday. But they can be with a man for years, getting financial benefits, dates, sex, quality time, emotional support, etc. And just because it didn't end up in a committed relationship, oh, it was all I did was waste my time. And it's like, come on, man. You got to be consistent with what you're doing. Anybody that enjoys something, you can't call a waste of time. If I spend $200 to take my wife and daughter to Six Flags and all we do is ride rides all day, I can't sit and say, oh, man, I just wasted my $200. No, I paid for our entertainment and the snacks and the souvenirs and whatever I spent money on. And so it's the same way when it comes to relationships. You can't enjoy all the benefits and all the things that come with the relationship when it's all good. And then just because it doesn't go how you wanted it to end up, call everything a waste of time. That's not how productive people look at it. You have to look at what you benefited from it, what you got from it, what you learned from it, and take that and apply it going forward. Because you didn't waste time. I don't know no woman that puts herself in a situation that with a man that she don't enjoy being in.
Right.
You like something about this dude. Otherwise, you would not have been with him for that long. And so,
exactly.
Those are the type of things where I just try to get some clarity and some reality on. Like, man, hold on. Some of the stuff that y'all saying don't reflect reality, and is very inconsistent with the other areas of a woman's life. So, Rachel, I want to tell you thanks for taking the time to do this discussion with me. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Can you let the audience know?
Thank you.
Can you let them know where they can find you? How they can get your
of
content?
Of course, you can follow me on social media. You know, I underscore am Rachel G. Or you can go to my website, iamrachelg.com. You can subscribe to my website. I have a book coming out, Steps to Heal for Purpose. It's helping you heal. And I also have another book coming out called I'm Single Now, What to Do While You're Single, so that you can be prepared and not just ready to be in a relationship. And my number and everything's on social media. So hit me up, let me know what you need, and I'll meet up with you. And I appreciate you for having me on. Despite the technical difficulties, I know the people will help and enlighten.
All right. Well, yeah, I think this definitely be a beneficial conversation for people to hear. I'll go ahead and share the replay. So those of you that didn't get to catch the beginning, you'll be able to watch the entire conversation up to 24 hours on Instagram. Or you can always go to Blog Talk Radio and search for my name, Terry Duran, and you'll be able to pull up all my past discussions that I've had with other relationship people or authors or people that I've brought on. Everybody, I want to say thanks for tuning in. I appreciate all the love. Y'all have a good evening.